before our conference about the tree, and mainly it was about the olive tree. And so I thought I'd go ahead and take this time to go back and maybe finish it out. Before we read in Judges chapter 9, let's go again back to Romans chapter 11 just for a few moments of review and maybe catch you up on what we went over 2 weeks ago. When he's talking about the olive tree and the branches being cut off, and in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them back in. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And then he says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel under the fullness of the Gentiles become in. The fullness of the Gentiles is the body of Christ. The olive tree there represents the national Israel as a nation. And there's no doubt in my mind the grafting in has to do with circumcision. In other words, when they was become a proselyte, a Gentile, he would have to submit. The main thing would be circumcision. And we went over a lot of this and tried to show you the last couple of weeks about it. Turn back to the book and let's try again. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll just use this. But there are a lot of Old Testament scriptures we could go, and we went over a lot of them, and I can't go back over all of them again, but just for a review, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul lays the thing out. He said in verse 11, he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And the reason they had no hope was because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They had nothing in common with Israel. Well, what would make them have something in common with Israel would be the submitting of the covenant made by God to Abraham. And the sign of that covenant was, the token of the covenant was circumcision. So if a Gentile really believed that Israel was the true nation, that God was the God of the Israelites, then they would submit to circumcision, and they would have that in common. They would be what would be called a proselyte, and they would submit to the ordinances and the rite of circumcision. And Paul is sent, and notice back in Romans there again, and one other thing, in chapter 2, notice, and it has to do, even in Deuteronomy, he said circumcision is a spiritual thing. The sign, the token is physical, but if your heart ain't circumcised, the physical don't do you no good. And so notice what he says there, chapter 2, verse 17, Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and maketh thy boast of God. And they, verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them that are in darkness, instructor of foolish, teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. They were trying to keep the law. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. And it's an act of will. In other words, if they was willing and believed, they would submit to circumcision. I'm saying, my opinion is that the grafting in into the olive tree were circumcision. They become a Jewish proselyte, and Paul's writing to them. And so that's the what I wanted you to see about the olive tree. Now, back in Judges chapter 9, Judges chapter 9, and notice the parable that is given, and it's concerning Abimelech. And of course, Abimelech is a type of the Antichrist, and he kills all of Gideon's sons. He's a son of Gideon, but he's a half-breed. He's half Israelite. He's half Egyptian. He's Hamite back there. And so he's a type of the Antichrist. And I don't want to get into that, but that's who he's writing, he's talking about. So Abimelech is the one that has the thing. And he turns out to be the bramble. But anyway, verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. Now the trees would represent the nations of the world. And so, because I read over there in Daniel chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar was like a tree that was cut down, and his kingdom and all that. But so trees represent the nation. Then he said, the reign over us. And the olive tree, verse 9, said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Now, I want you to think about a kingdom. And in this kingdom, you'll find that there, somewhere, I'll just put it over here, there was a kingdom that was back over there. There was a kingdom back over here. And that kingdom had to do with David and David's throne, and he advanced the kingdom, and Solomon reigned over the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 1, he said, they asked the Lord, they said, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, they're talking about this kingdom back here under David. And David advanced that kingdom, and of course, all through the Bible, you'll find David is going to reign and sit upon the throne. It's called the throne of David. And you'll find Old Testament prophets. So I believe in the future out here, David will be resurrected, and he will reign and sit upon a throne over here. Now, anyway, so I want you to think along them lines and of a kingdom. In that kingdom, there is a nation, and that nation is called the olive tree in that Bible. And you also find something else. He said, the tree said unto the what? Fig tree. So I got a fig tree over here. I got, we're going to read it. But the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou, reign over us. The fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Now, then the tree said unto the vine, so I got a vine. All three of these trees represent Israel in that kingdom. So, and there are three things about a nation. You'll find the nation has a spirituality. You'll find the nation is political, okay? And has a political reign, a kingdom, so to speak. And you'll find the national of the thing. Then the tree, fig tree, verse 12, then the tree said unto the vine, come thou reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and goeth to be promoted over the trees? Notice the vine brings God and man together. That would be the kingdom. And with the vine you have a king. And in that king is the kingdom altogether. He's the ruler. Now Jesus said, hang on the judges, turn over to John, and look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'm trying to hurry along. I'd hope I'm not going too, because I got a lot of ground to cover and short time to get there. In John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true what? Vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And over he tells them to abide in me. The point is, I would imagine there are 12 branches in that vine. And there are 12, and they are the leaders. You'll find in Matthew, in chapter 21, Matthew, I believe it is, chapter 21, in Matthew chapter 21, notice in verse 38, Matthew 21, 38, but when the husbandman saw the son, in other words, he sent his son unto him, he sent him, and what Jesus, remember John 15, when the husbandmen saw the son, and they said to themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard. The vineyard would be a type of the kingdom. And they slew him. When the Lord of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? They said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. That'd be the 12. And which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus said unto them, did you ever read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom. Now, what was he talking about back in 41? We'll let out his what? Vineyard, right? Well, then I know the vineyard is the kingdom. He said, therefore, I say unto you, the vineyard of God, or the kingdom of God, shall be taken from you, given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. I know that nation is a new nation. And it starts, it's called the little flock. In fact, look over in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 31. Luke 12:31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? The kingdom. The little flock gets the kingdom because it wasn't bringing forth fruit. Well, in the vineyard, this would be the vineyard, and in that vineyard you have an olive tree, you have a fig tree, you have a vine tree. The vine would be the king, the kingdom. Look in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 1. Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He hath fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst thereof, and also made the winepress thereof. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Come down to verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and Jesus Christ come out of there, out of Judah, and he is the true vine, the king. But you have Israel, you have the national, you have political, spiritual, the kingdom, national, spiritual, and what's left? That fig tree. You know what that fig tree represents? Turn over with me to Genesis and look in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, most of the time, whenever there's the first occurrence of something in that Bible, that's usually the way it runs through the whole Bible. Every how it's presented the first occurrence, it's usually that way all the way through. Not all the time, but 90% of the time. Look what it represents. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan comes up, the serpent. Verse 3, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. She added to the word, didn't she? Lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, who has the wisdom to know what is good and what is evil in verse 5? This is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know what Satan's doing there? He's saying, God's keeping back something from you. There's something that the Lord just doesn't want you to know. And man has always wanted to be wise. You know that? And it's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with going to school or college or training or whatever to better yourself because you need to make a living. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not. But you know, this world has made a god out of education. This world has made a god out of wisdom. And they look at these things and, well, he's a great scientist and these evolutionists and all that. And the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So then he goes on. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed what? Fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They took fig leaves, sewed them together, made themselves aprons, then hid among the trees. Now, you know something? That's religion. That's self-righteous religion. And that's hiding among the religions of the world. That's what they do. And fig leaves, fig tree, has to do with the religion of the Jews. As sure as you're sitting here. Let's look at some things about it. Turn over with me, and we'll just give you a few references. Look in Joel. And notice this thing in Joel in chapter 2. And let's see if I can find that other one for you while you turn to Joel. Joel chapter 2. All right, in Joel chapter 2, notice something about this. And it's always this way. In verse 12, Joel chapter 1. I'll give you the wrong reference. Joel chapter 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up. And this has to do with Joel's has to do with the second coming of the Lord. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. There's something that's happened to them. Let's try another one. They withered. Now, that reminds me of when the Lord cursed that. Let's just look at that first. Turn over with me and look in Matthew, and we'll just go from there. Matthew can't get my pages. Matthew 22, I believe it is. All right, 21. Matthew 21. And notice what he said in verse, he goes out of the temple now. Verse 14, the vine, lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Now, remember the parable that I read to you, this is the heir, the vineyard. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. They knew who he was. They heard the people telling them who he was. And Pilate even said he knew that they brought him before him because of envy. They are envious of him. Now he comes there, verse 16. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye not ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow out on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Just like Joel had prophesied in Joel chapter 1, the trees withered, Jesus Christ looked at. You know what that is? The religion of those Pharisees was not bringing forth no fruit. All they had was religion. All they had was fig leaves. That fig tree had leaves on it. It was probably beautiful. And there was nothing to fruit on it, nothing to eat. And so he cursed it. And the Israel religion of the Jews has been withered ever since. And you can't get to God through Israel today. They're blind. You can't, there is no olive tree for you to be grafted in. There is no fig tree to bring forth no fruit. Their religion can't get you to God. And nationally, the vine is not came back. There is no kingdom over there. So what all we got? We have prophecy preachers preaching that in 1948 the fig tree began to bloom. Look in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Notice now verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Likewise, ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near. But you know, there is a... turn over with me and look in Luke. And notice what Luke says about it. And I'm going to wrap it up right here. Try and find it. Maybe I can. Let's see. Maybe it's Mark. Let me just see if I can find it right quick. I was thinking it was Luke. I can't seem to find it. What I'm more looking for. I'll find it. Just give me a second. Someday we'll be here. Might have to read the whole book. Let's see. Let me go to Mark 11. I found it. I told you I did. Luke. Look in Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 6. So I was right. It was in Luke, wasn't it? Verse 6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, remember who the vineyard is? It's the kingdom, right? Alright, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. The Lord's, how long was his ministry? 3 years. They ain't producing no fruit. Their religion is not producing. And the religion of today is not producing either. It just covers up. But he goes on. Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it in to the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, Then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And folks, he's teaching this in the synagogue. The tree's cut down today. They're cast away. They're fallen. Israel today is blinded in part. Paul said it's a mystery until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Folks, right now, back here, they have it. I would put this would be the kingdom. This is their religion. And this would be their nationality up here, or whatever, the spirituality of them. And they're dried up. Today, there is no Israel to be grafted in. You can't get to God through Israel today as a nation or their religion. You can't be a proselyte of the Jewish religion. You can't submit and say, well, I'm going to follow Israel. There's no Israel to follow. You say, well, what do you mean? Folks, God is not dealing with one nation today in salvation. God's dealing with all men about salvation. And salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's death on the cross for you. And in the dispensation of grace today, we have no Israel to bless. We're not partakers of the covenants of promise today, or any of that. They're going to be reunited over here. They will have 1,000 years. One of these days, the church is going to be taken out, and then it'll go back like it was back here in the book of Acts when they was offering that kingdom unto Israel. And they offered it unto Israel. Israel rejected it. They rejected God, the prophets back here. Strike one. He sends his son over here. They crucify him. Strike two. He sends the Holy Spirit over here in Acts chapter 2. And they resist the Holy Spirit. Stone Stephen in Acts 7. You know what that is? That's strike three. He said if you speak against a word against the Holy Spirit, it'd not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. They blaspheme God the Father back here. They blaspheme God the Son. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he said, you can say what you want to against me, and it'll be forgiven you. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, and it'll not be forgiven you in this life or the life to come. And folks, in Acts chapter 7, they blasphemed again, and strike three, you're out. It's over. It's done. And they are fallen as a nation today, and they're, lo am I, not my people. They will be regathered over here. And Jesus said, if you want to use that in Matthew 24, the parable of the fig tree is, when you see the religion of the Jews over here come back and they reestablish their religion and the sacrifices, you know that summer's nigh. It's putting forth its buds. And that would be a sign unto them, but not to you. Alright. Olive tree, the nation Israel, the spirituality, olive, entrance to God, religion, the fig tree, the vine tree, the king of Israel. Alright, that's it.